Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
Well, let's jump right in, man. Let's talk about student loans. What do we need to know other than they're available and they can be expensive?
Well, that's certainly an understatement, but it's actually quite interesting. It's good timing to have this discussion because I just completed a continuing education course not too long ago, and they're really starting to reach out more to the financial planning community on how to help people deal with these things in the aftermath of having student debt, because it's even becoming a big economic problem. It's starting to affect the housing markets. It's starting to affect a lot of other businesses because so much money is now going towards student debt payments that it's really starting to affect how people are spending other money in their lives. So it is a huge burden on people's financial lives and even really their other life decisions that they're making.
You know, I heard someone explain, as my son was visiting colleges, and they have people come around and talk to the parents as well as the students. They'll separate you. You know, parents go and deal with the financial end of things, and they were breaking down some of the costs. And the person who was doing the presentation, Brad, said this: just so you know, it's really not that bad. On average, our kids will graduate with about $28,000 in debt. I thought I was going to need oxygen. Like, are you kidding me? Really?
So yeah, $28,000 not too bad, right?
Man, but there are some things that we do have to watch out for, some dangers, and maybe there's some other options we can look at besides student loans. Brad, educate us. We want to handle God's resources well.
Yeah, well, let's just take it back a little bit of a step even and consider the realm of debt as a whole and then how college debt kind of fits into that. So if we look at Scripture, Scripture doesn't tell us that debt is forbidden. It actually, you know, provides an education and guidelines for how to be a lender. So I don't feel like debt is actually forbidden, but it is heavily warned against. And we can go back to Proverbs where it says the borrower is servant to the lender. So we know that going into debt creates this position of servitude. And what we need to be able to look at anytime we're looking at debt or the possibility of taking on debt is, how dangerous is this debt? So in order to evaluate that, we have to look at what are the dangers of it, and how easily can I get out of this servitude? So if you buy a house, well, you can always sell the house and hopefully be able to get enough out of it to pay off the loan, and then you're able to walk away from it. Even if you don't get it all paid off, hopefully it can pay most of it off. So you do have at least collateral against that. So one of the things about student debt is, while we may be getting something of value, what we're purchasing, we can't go resell and get ourselves out of that debt. So it's not an easy thing to unwind and get out of. Another thing that bothers me about student debt, well, number one, it's easy to get. So they've made it pretty easy just because of the importance that we have placed on college education. Mm-hmm. They've tried to make the process so that people can get the funding they need to go get that education. But one of the real things that does bother me about it is the audience that we're targeting. It's young adults. So we've got people that may not understand, they haven't lived life, they haven't experienced other debts. So our target audience, we're placing something of great importance in front of them and saying the only way you may be able to buy it at this point in time is to go into debt. And they don't really understand all the strings that are attached to it. And especially with student debt, being able to unwind it, one of the ultimate fallbacks in our system is bankruptcy. So if somebody gets way in over their head and becomes such a burden, while we don't like to advise people to go that route, there are times in life where the burden of debt becomes so big that at least there is this avenue out through bankruptcy. But student debt doesn't even allow that. So that's one of the biggest burdens that I see on student debt is that, number one, we don't have collateral on it, but number two, even if we get so far in that we don't see any other way out, we can't discharge it through bankruptcy even.
Well, talk to us, Brad, too, about how we can teach our kids about stewardship. I mean, you know, you want to raise them starting early to talk to them about stewardship, but then college rolls around and it's such an exciting time and all they're seeing is the excitement of change, the newness of moving to a campus and being on their own for the first times. And I think when they have that going on, then they're not really necessarily understanding the gravity of what they're about to get into as they take out student loans. You know, I was telling my son, if you take out this loan, this one is going to continue to accrue interest, and you're going to owe much more than what you initially borrowed by the time you graduate. You really better think this through.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I would encourage parents to not be so focused on the goal, which is the college education, that we miss the journey with our kids that can start at a very young age. So just like you're talking about there, one of the things we need to be able to teach them about is just basic spending decisions and what are the risks of debt. So we talk about how, you know, they're targeting a young audience that may not understand debt, but what can we teach our kids as they're growing up on how to make wise financial decisions, how to make wise spending decisions, and what are the risks of debt, even on, you know, basic decisions that they're making. Maybe they're 10 to 12 years old. They need to start to understand how money plays out. How do I make wise decisions? How do I do good research? So some of the areas there. So we're teaching stewardship at that point. How do we live frugally? How do we work hard? Because we need to understand that work and money go together. So maybe we're helping our kids to save up. We're talking to them about college. Maybe even when you're on vacation, this is one thing we've done as a family, is visiting college campuses, just so they start getting the idea of what is college. You can start to just plant that seed in their mind of how that plays into their future life, so that then that you can start having that conversation of, oh, well, this is a bigger goal down the road. This is why we work summer jobs. This is why we put money away, because this is going to be something that's very expensive to pay for in the future. And you can just start to educate them on those things and let them see the bigger picture before it becomes that, oh, it's a fun time, I want to go and go to this campus because it provides me with this country club atmosphere, which is one thing that a lot of universities have started to realize, mm-hmm. is if they provide this fun atmosphere, that they can attract more students there. So a lot of money is going into that aspect of the college campus, because they know that the dollars will follow it. So if we need to be able to teach our kids to be able to look past that and be able to pick the right school for them. And, you know, a great school isn't always the best school for all of our kids. And also to make sure we have a defined goal when we're going to college. It's not a cheap place to go find ourselves in life and find our path in life. So can we help our kids to be able to figure out what they're good at, what their skills are, what might be a good career choice with the skill sets that they have, and, you know, not to even overlook the technical schools or the trades, because a lot of people are looking past that thinking they got to go the traditional college route. And, you know, I honestly think we've got a real shortage of people that are skilled and you know, highly skilled in the trade area, that at some point we're going to have a big shortage there.
Yeah, it is interesting to see where things are going right now, because I know a couple of people just off the top of my head, Brad, and I love higher education. I am all for it, but they are, now that they've been long graduated, they're working so far below the degrees they have, and that's not paying the bills for the loans they took out. And you really get into a tough situation with that. So before we wrap up here, and we've only got about a minute or so left, and we'll have you share the website where people can go for more information about what you've written on this, but talk about accountability for the next minute, Brad, because that touches every area of life, and it is so important when we're sending those kids off to college.
Yeah, and this goes back to why it's so important to start having these financial discussions with our kids early, because if we do, even once they leave the house and they're in college, it's okay to be able to, you've set the groundwork to be able to have these kind of conversations of how are you spending your money now. And I encourage people that once their kids are out of the house, to even help them to be able to pull their credit reports and make sure that you're going through their credit reports with them, helping them to understand that, which will also reveal if they're starting to take out other debts that you may not be aware of. So while you have, you know, the intent is really on helping them, you also have a little bit of a transparency there on, you know, making sure that they're not going into credit card debt, because almost half of college kids are coming out with credit card debt, which is just another step back as they're entering into adult life. So if the more we can help them with how they're spending their money after they leave our house and start going to college, the better we are. So we need to be preparing them to have those conversations and building that relationship with them. So even though they're an adult and want to be treated like an adult, we can still have a little bit of a voice there to be able to help them still make wise decisions now that they're finally making them on their own.